SBS Radio.
Pare Faik, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you, Vaya. Pleasure to be with you.
Haik, your impressions from the Armenian festival on Sunday?
Oh, it was a very different event. The Armenian festival is one of those events where we showcase the best of Armenia and also Armenians. The people, the culture, the music, the food, it's all on display for the greater Australian community. We hold this event every couple of years, and a group of organisations come together and organise it. A larger group of organisations, churches, community groups participate in it, and it's a genuine opportunity for our community to come together and showcase what's best to the greater community. And I think that that we did a good job of that as a community. There were political guests there as well. There was the Federal Minister for Immigration, David Coleman, the Premier of New South Wales, Gladys Berejiklian, was there. Trent Zimmerman was there. Walt Secord was there. Damien Tudhope was there. There was a good group of political guests. There was media. And I think overall, the estimate was that 10,000 people walked through the festival throughout the day, so I think it was a really great opportunity for us to put on what we have to show as Armenians in happier times.
Haik, about the debate in federal parliament a few weeks ago commemorating the 70th anniversary of the adoption of the Genocide Convention, were you pleased with the speeches and the message they conveyed?
Yes, look, I think it was a unique opportunity for us, again, in the federal parliament to have the Armenian genocide front and centre in a debate. There were seven speakers in the debate, and I think six of them used this opportunity, which, as you correctly point out, Vahe, the opportunity was to remember and honour the 70th anniversary of the adoption of the UN Genocide Convention. But they used that opportunity, six of the seven speakers, to highlight what happened to the Armenians, the Greeks and the Assyrians during the Armenian genocide. And the speeches, I felt, were very strong in the whole. We had Tim Wilson, who introduced the motion. He obviously has Armenian ancestry. He was very clear, despite being a member of the government, he was very clear in his insistence that the government needs to recognise the Armenian genocide. I think that the speeches also did something in a more general sense where they unequivocally linked on parliamentary record the word genocide and what happened to the Armenians in 1915. As we know, there's a lot of conversations that occur amongst bureaucrats and people who are under the influence, possibly of the threats posed by Turkey when they talk about the Armenian genocide, that the word genocide shouldn't be applied to what happened to the Armenians. But what this debate did, it put a focus on the author of the convention, the person who coined the word genocide, Dr. Raphael Lemkin, and almost all of the speakers, I think, quoted his words where he admitted that the reason he became interested and decided that a legal definition was required to define mass killings based on race, based on ethnicity, because of what happened to the Armenians and because of what happened to the Jews 70 years ago. He decided to come up with that word, and in our parliament on the 70th anniversary of that convention, we were able to unequivocally link what happened to the Armenians and to the word genocide and put that on parliamentary record. I think all of the speakers, you know, did a good job. I think Michael Danby was definitely a highlight from the Labor side. Julian Lisa, the member for Barara, he took the opportunity to call on Erdogan to own up to his past. And Michael Sukar was another speaker who stood out because he used the opportunity to say that if Turkey and Azerbaijan are going to, you know, sanction Australia or threaten Australia, so be it, as in Australian values and upholding those are more important than, you know, what an autocratic regime on the other side of the world might think about what we're doing. The overall consensus from the speeches was that We need to end these word games. I think another significance of this particular debate was the debate we had in June, which was to recognise the Armenian genocide through the prism of Australia's humanitarian relief effort, had six speakers. The seven speakers who spoke this time were a completely different set of speakers. So in the federal parliament, we are having more and more speakers, more and more people on both sides of the chamber, in both of the houses of parliament, calling for Australia to change its position. We believe that the more this consensus grows, the more untenable Australia's foreign policy on this part of Armenian history is. I think for that position to be more tenable, Australia is going to have to listen to the representatives who are actually elected from Australians, by Australians, and these are the people who are speaking. I think significantly, via the day after this debate, we had another speaker in the Senate, Christina Keneally, who's a senator from New South Wales. She lended her support also to Armenian genocide recognition by Australia, and this is a slow but sure increasing of the tone in that house as well.
Let's come to Victoria and about, you know, the Victorian elections in November. I presume it was a win-win situation for Haigetron?
It was. Obviously, a quick word about the Armenian National Committee of Australia's Melbourne branch. It's something that's still in the formation stages. We've announced our chairman for a while now in Aspet Boymushakyan, and he's being ably assisted by a couple of volunteers, including Hovik Melkonyan from our national board, who is based in Melbourne. They've been doing some community consultations and trying to establish the full committee for us to be able to announce it. So while in these formation stages, obviously they haven't been very active in the State Parliament of Victoria to date. This is a new initiative, the branches that we've been forming. As a result, with the elections coming around, it was very difficult to go there and talk about the records of these politicians on several issues. They were more meetings that were introductory in nature. We did have a proposal from Haigetron in Melbourne about potentially receiving some funding for the Springvale Armenian Community Centre to build, expand the facilities in the car park, etc. And there was a request of, I think, $30,000 or $35,000 in funding, and we took that to the two major contenders for that seat, one being the incumbent Premier Daniel Andrews, and the other being the member who was competing on behalf of the Liberal Party, and they both committed to funding it. First, Daniel Andrews committed to the funding, saying that if re-elected, his government will definitely fund it. And then Marie Davenport, who was running on behalf of the Liberal Party for that seat, the seat of Mulgrave, offered to match that funding. So it was a win-win situation for Haigetron. But as far as the Armenian National Committee of Australia's Melbourne branch is concerned, this was an opportunity for this newly forming, burgeoning committee to make important representations to people such as the Premier, meet people from both parties and establish those relationships, which in the next parliament are going to be very important when our committee members are going to be fighting for national issues as well as these local issues, national being, genocide recognition, Artsakh, etc.
Hi, I've done a few interviews this year with you because it was a busy year. So wrapping up the year, what were the main highlights from ANCA's point of view?
Yeah, look, that's a big question. It has been a big year for us, Vaya. We have been very proud of our achievements alongside our community because we're only as strong as our community is. And I think a general comment is I believe our community has been very strong this year. I think the amount of events, activities that the community has been able to do, it's really extended itself, and I don't think too many things have been unsuccessful. And I think ANC, being a grassroots organisation, is only ever going to be a mirror of that community. And in this successful environment, we've been able to mirror that success in the area of public affairs. The problem is starting from the top in terms of federal parliament. The fact that a motion was debated in the House of Representatives which contained the words Armenian genocide was a major achievement. This was the first ever, obviously, that a motion with the words Armenian genocide was allowed to be put on the agenda, the notice paper of the House of Representatives. We achieved that. We had all of the speakers speak favourably towards that and declare that the will of the House of Representatives was for Australia's foreign policy in this regard to change, and importantly, for Australia to recognise its important part in that Armenian history or Armenian tragedy when they helped survivors of the Armenian genocide and the ANZACs bore witness to what happened to the Armenians. The second debate in December was the one that we just discussed earlier in this interview. That too was a major highlight. Of course, it was about the 70th anniversary genocide convention. However, the focus that it had on the Armenian issue, first of all, it mentioned the fact that Raphael Lemkin invented the word and authored the convention because of his motivation to seek justice from people such as the Armenians and the Jews. I think that that was also a major second step for us in that part, in that lower house. The fact that another group of speakers spoke was great. There were also individual speeches throughout the year, which we've always had, but I think there were a few more this year. There was a focus on the Senate, because obviously motions such as the ones we're talking about will only ever be voted in the Senate, private members' motions. Private senators' motions have more of a chance to be voted. The fact that we have high-profile Liberals such as Senator Erica Betts, high-profile Labor senators such as Christina Keneally willing to go on the record and say Australia needs to change its position on this issue is very helpful to our cause, and we've got to watch that space and work on that space a lot more. The fact that we had four or five senators question departmental officials on Armenian issues this year was also major, particularly with regards to Artsakh. The Senate estimates process allowed us to have the questioning of SBS's former managing director in Michael Abid on SBS's position, editorial position on the Armenian genocide. We had Rex Patrick question the Department of Foreign Affairs regarding threats that Australia has been under when talking about the Armenian genocide from Turkey. We had Senator Lee Rhiannon question the government around their links to Azerbaijan and how Azerbaijan is managing to somehow receive favourable coverage in the Australian government, and the fact that the foreign policy of Australia is not consistent with the OSCE, which Australia is a partner organisation of. We have successfully, through these processes, through these speeches, through this federal advocacy, brought Australia's position on the Armenian genocide to one that is more neutral rather than pro-Turkey, which it was under Julie Bishop. And we've also managed to bring the Artsakh position officially on paper to something that is also more neutral rather than pro-Azeri. These are major legislative victories that that we need to build upon to ensure that Australia is starting from even kettle, and from here we can probably bring them to where they need to be, which is whichever side is righteous and where international law applies, which is obviously favourable to the Armenians of Artsakh and also the recognition and justice of the Armenian genocide. Other than federal government, I will touch on state governments. I think the fact that we were able to form branches in Perth and had the first WA Member of Parliament ever speak on the Armenian genocide in Tony Booty, that was a major achievement. the other branches that were able to form in Canberra and in Melbourne, as I said, it's something that's still in the process. These were major achievements in the recent past, and I think that it will embed us in those states a little bit better, and it will serve our communities and our causes moving forward in those areas in a more national way. I think the highlight generally, although it's a completely independent body, was the formation of the Armenian National Committee of New Zealand, the fact that Taner Akçam was there for that, and the major education campaign led to the Prime Minister of New Zealand being asked live questions about the Armenian genocide in her weekly press briefing. This is a major advancement in that particular space. At a local government level, just briefly touching upon one piece of success there, I think is worth mentioning, the Ryde Council recognising the Republic of Artsakh. That is a major achievement. It was major news in Artsakh in Armenia. And I think that the local government can play a major role in that. We achieved quite a bit for our communities. You mentioned the $35,000 in funding for the Hagiatron in Melbourne. There was some funding achieved for the Armenian Festival we discussed earlier. There was funding for the Armenian Community Centre in Willoughby. There was also funding that was achieved for the Armenian Resource Centre, which is a newly formed resource centre. And a major funding announcement will take place soon because of some of the work we were able to assist the Armenian Resource Centre in achieving there, which is a centre dedicated to assisting refugees who have arrived from Syria and of Armenian background, and Iraq and other places in the Middle East. So there's been quite a bit on the legislative front and the governments. In terms of the grassroots, we've made a specific effort to reach out to young people, and our programs such as the ANCAU Youth Advocates Program, which took 20 young Armenians to Canberra, was major, gave them real life experience. The fact that we ran Golston government classes in Golston College, teaching young Armenians about how government works and how impactful politics is to their day-to-day life, our engagement with the AYF, different student groups, Armenian student groups, all of this is geared towards trying to make young Armenians fill our seats in the future in the ANC, and also, even better, become the future Gladys's, Joe Hockey's and Tim Wilson's of our community. So it's been a big year overall, but that's where I would sort of point our highlights to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I presume 2019 also is going to be a busy year with scheduled elections federally and in New South Wales.
Yes, there will be a busy beginning first 6 months in terms of the local scene. New South Wales elections are slated for March, and the federal elections can take place anytime between now and May. We believe it will be in May. We have a lot to do for both of those elections. Obviously, New South Wales has already recognised the Armenian Genocide in the Republic of Artsakh, but we need to consolidate that. We also have a number of local issues in Ryde and other places that we're making representations for on behalf of our communities' organisations, and we would look to settle those during the state election campaign as well. In terms of the federal election, well, you know, the Bennelong by-election where John Alexander and Christina Keneally went head-to-head, and both ended up being great friends of the Armenian cause and have consolidated that with their appearances in Parliament since then, I think shows how important federal elections are if you want to achieve results post-elections. So we will be running a very national approach to the federal elections. All seats that are Armenian located will be polled by us. We will have our youth and our office calling Armenian homes, making sure our databases are up to date so that when the time comes to vote, our community is aware of the where their candidates sit on Armenian issues, and can be influenced in that by their vote, And that's one thing that I think the parliamentarians have now realized, that Armenians do vote on these issues. Armenians are mainly the descendants of survivors of the Armenian genocide here in Australia. Therefore, they will vote on that issue. They will vote on Artsakh. They will vote on how political leaders are helping our community be sustainable. So I think that that will definitely have us quite busy. Other than the elections and our regular activities, which will be more of the same and hopefully more, one of the highlights we're hoping that we can announce in a year's time in a future interview by is that we have taken a delegation of Australian politicians to Armenia and also hosted a delegation of Armenian politicians here in Australia. These are among our key goals for 2019.
Hi, thank you very much for the interview. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas, and all the best wishes to you and your family and colleagues at ANCA.
Thank you so much, Vahe. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners, and a Happy New Year.
sbs.com.au